Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
And hello everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Tommy and Hector podcast with Loretta Blewett. We did that COVID testing again, so we're all healthy, and Loretta has brought more biscuits than she baked.
Every week there's
biscuits.
Well,
I mean,
biscuits.
I got such a hammering last week for the raspberry squares or slices.
Do you know what?
They actually improved
with time.
The raspberries?
Yeah.
Things, yeah.
Mm. Yeah, I think over time they just...
They got softer, did they?
They did. They got damper, and it took the edge off the base.
All right, so you finished them then?
I did finish them.
Oh
yeah.
Well, that's good then. After all your negativity towards them, that's...
Now, let's get this naming of the show, Lark.
Oh, I'm not even engaged.
Not even going
in this
anymore.
Really?
So no, it's back to you again. No.
Well, I thought of one.
Go on your own now.
Yes, on my own. I thought of one.
This is the Tommy's Tiernan's choice.
Tommy's idea, and I think we just go for it. If you're not inclined.
Well, no, go ahead. Absolutely, go ahead.
I thought of it last night.
Go on.
Real Betty's Town. We will go for that one.
That is brilliant.
That's
Tommy.
A great name.
That,
okay.
Well done, Tommy. And, that's excellent.
Let's settle on that one. So, Real Betty's Town. I like it. I come up with that.
Oh, that's brilliant. That's very well done.
That's a great name.
Yeah.
So this is Real Betty's Town.
Yep.
Say it again, yeah.
No.
My pen doesn't work.
Our notebooks. Oh, yes.
Well, I don't have that.
That started off good.
I have something to talk about.
I'm delighted with that.
Hector's broad smile.
Homework. There's a lot of fucking homework in our house now at the minute, and I don't like it. I didn't leave school in order to be doing homework 30 years later, but I'm... You would have people in the house doing homework, would you, Hector?
At the moment, I would fucking go training to climb Mount Everest and try and get two teenagers to open their books and log on to school. It is absolutely carnage.
Should they be allowed to listen to music while they're doing their homework? That's a big debate in our house.
Well... After watching your man, the scientist, on your programme a few weeks ago.
Who's that?
The man, the...
Oh, Dr. Ian.
Yeah, he said you can't do two things at once. So if you're listening to music and you're doing something else, you're being distracted by one or the other.
Okay, my young fellow who's 12 told me that he was able to watch Friends and do his homework at the same time.
Well, then...
Is that bullshit?
Well, you'd have to ask your... scientist, but I'd say he should go for
it. It's all this homeschooling at the moment. It is absolutely
my sister-in-law.
It's punishment, isn't it? It's punishment.
My sister-in-law, she uses the podcast as a way of getting away from them and having a walk, because she said homeschooling is just absolutely diabolical.
You always had your homework done in school.
No, I didn't.
Yes,
Tommy.
You did.
No,
don't lie.
That's a lie, Tommy.
Don't lie to me. Hector.
I cogged.
No, you didn't. You were always... My memory of you...
How dare you paint a picture of me?
Why is that a bad thing?
All right, come on. You say your thing about my home and then I'll tell you exactly what I did for 5 years.
My memory of you is that you were a real messer in class. A real messer,
laughing. But he always got the stuff done.
You always did your fucking homework. You always did your homework, and
I hated people like that in my class.
I was messing in class but never did homework. But Hector always just had that kind of just other side to him where he was playing both sides of the fence.
Mm. I'm going to tell you exactly what happened with me regarding certain subjects. I could do my homework in certain subjects. I couldn't do my homework in maths. I was crowned a mathematical cripple in Fortia, where the teacher said to me, just take out your Irish books and do what you want.
That's an interesting description.
He called me a mathematical cripple. And I can...
A mathematical cripple.
He says, take out your Irish books and do what you want, you mathematical cripple, you. I never use the word cripple
so just
anymore.
Gave up on you.
So, and I'm going to verify this. I cogged my maths homework from first year to leave insert off one person, Michael Jock Tully. I'd say to Jock Tully, do you remember Jock Tully?
Yeah.
I'd say, give us Jock, give us your homework. And I just copy. All I knew to do after 5 years of maths was A union B in a chart. It was like two circles, A union B, and you colour in the two bits to intersect. And no. That's A intersection B.
That's A intersection B.
A union B. What's A union?
I don't know.
Jock Tully.
Jock Tully.
And so when I'd watch Prime Time or Today Tonight and they have the Fianna Fáil votes are in and then Fianna Gael and you'd see a pie chart. That's all I could get my head around. Pie charts and A union B, A intersection B.
And what did you get in your leaving cert?
I got an E in pass maths.
An E in pass maths?
Yeah. I had always
a problem with maths. You could either
that's a good level.
Maths was something you could either do. Like I know this sounds a bit ridiculous, but you could either do it or you couldn't. Like you can't learn.
I would say that's the same for a lot of things, Larissa.
No, but like you could get through like kind of English and geography and stuff like that. But like you're either excellent at maths or you were like
oh yeah.
Just so tell me, for you to say that I always done me, I cogged certain homework.
There was another, okay, you cogged your maths, but there was another seven subjects. You always had your Irish done. You always had your English done.
But
You always had your Latin done. You always had your geography done.
No, Tommy,
done.
Michael McGrath was very good to both of us. Michael McGrath.
You always had your history done. You were always just...
I gave up history after junior cert. I got thrown out of French for a year.
It didn't do any harm to you. Why did you get thrown out?
Threw me out for a year. I stood outside the class and we just stood inside.
Why did she throw you out?
I don't know. We used to drop the pen just to see if we get a look at our legs.
Oh.
So
the poor teachers.
If any teacher came in with any sort of a skirt on, and we'd be like, "Oh my lord!" And the pen goes down on the ground. And
Dungan, look at Dungan.
Poor Dungan.
I can see her legs.
What were you hoping to see, like
legs? Oh, we God, were teenagers.
Just a flash of a calf.
And then the other classic
there was no internet, of course.
The other classic was going up to the table. Miss, can I ask you a question? Up we go, and we'd be up behind, and just put your copy there, and we'd be way up behind her going. Yes, miss. And we'd be looking, trying to look down the top of her blouse just to get any view of the mountains.
God,
just
the
to keep
poor
us going.
Teachers.
Torn out for a year. That's.
I did a year outside, yes. So let's go back a bit. And I was only thinking about it the other day because I was flicking through Facebook and I saw the girl I brought to me, Debs.
Now, how did you.
And
flick,
I hadn't seen her.
How did you flick it back to her?
Huh?
Did you read?
Because I put
stalking?
I put something up on Facebook and I was just flicking through the comments.
Yes.
And I recognised the name.
Ah.
Hadn't seen that girl in a long time. Clicked on it. That's the girl who brought to me, Debs.
How is she?
She's great. Yeah, she looks great. And she's still in Avon.
Yeah.
And it just reminded me of that fucking time, the Debs. Getting on a bus and heading off with your Debs. So the question is, tell me about your Debs. Because it is one of the great... little milestones.
That's a great situation with my Debs. Now, I have to say, I was going out with the fella and about the night, the college Debs was on the night, about two nights previous to the convent one. And I had been invited by another fella to the college one. So I was going out with the lad that was...
And why did the lad not invite you to your boyfriend not invite you to...
Because he was like 21 and I was 18.
What? Right,
so he'd finished school. So anyway, I went.
He was about 29 and you were...
No, he was 21, yeah, right?
He was a truck driver. And around the same age as your father.
You were an older man.
So he was 21 and I was 18. So he then said, oh yeah, it's fine. Sure, you go to the Debs with your man, right? So that was fine. Anyway, I went to the Debs with your man. And that was fine. He was gentlemanly, but I shifted someone else at the Debs.
Keep it down.
Oh, you're a goer.
Keep it down.
And I tried to pretend, you know, it didn't, like, just moved on, you know. And as...
Tried to pretend to who now?
I forgot about it, you know. Like, it was just a quick shift. Like,
yeah.
It's like a moment of lapse.
On the dance floor or was it up?
I can't remember where it was. It was out in the public area anyway, don't worry about that.
Right. Up near the dump in Knockmore, imagine.
No, with the dump, where the college...
Where was the 21-year-old? Was he sitting outside in the Honda Civic?
He wasn't there. So then, anyway, that was fine. I was working in the jeweller shop on Saturday and our grad was on the Sunday. He was ringing my phone all the day and I was like... So anyway, in the evening, I was like, oh, what's everything okay? And he was like, oh, did you shift anyone Thursday night? And I was like, no. I can't remember. Why would you ask such a question? And then, of course, that was it. We broke up.
How did word get out?
So, I have no idea. Anyway, I wasn't that really overly bothered. But anyway, that was fine. I was like, oh, I've nobody to take to my debs now.
Yeah.
So I rang one of my friends and one of the lads, and I said, listen, you need to get me somebody to bring to the debs, like. And he says, okay, leave it with me. Give me an hour. So he got me a fella in his next door neighbour, and he came to my debs with me, and he took a rose from the garden, and he...
What a gentleman.
Lovely. The older man...
It was a disaster, like. I didn't get an awful lot of time to just... to get another date, but I got one in the end. So
fair play to you. Where was it on? What hotel?
In the Downhill in Ballina.
And was the meal nice? Was there a band?
Oh, I can't remember the meal, but well, yeah, it was good crack.
Did you get a load of drink?
We brought our principal, Sister Attractor, and we gave her a couple of aftershocks and stuff like that. So it was all innocent fun, you know. You're 18 years of age.
My debs now is I was 4 years in secondary school in Navan with Hector, and then in fifth year, they had their debs. But when I was sent to boarding school, I had to repeat fourth year. So all of a sudden, I was a year behind them.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't, when they were having their debs, I was still
in school.
So in the boarding school, there was fellas from all over the country, fellas. And you're living with these fellas for 9 months of the year, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you have 6 weeks on and then you get a weekend off. So, and we're six to a dormitory, and there's 150 of us boarders, you know. And over the 2 years, you become really, really close to them, you know. It was brilliant. And then the summer comes, you finish your leaving cert, and you're gone. You're all gone back to your different parts of the country. And I ended up, I was in Navan for a little while, and I was in London for a little while, and the Debs are coming up in October. And I was going out with this lovely girl from Rathkenny, a lovely girl. Called Maeve, and I've often wondered what Maeve has been doing in the meantime, and if she's listening, or if anybody belonging to her is listening. They were half connected to the pet shop there opposite the back of the Mercy. Please give my regards to Maeve and tell her I think of her fondly, but I'm awful sorry about what I did.
Oh, great. Now, I don't feel so bad now.
This is where the crackles down. This is where, because Deb's a nice woman.
So, I invited Maeve to my debs.
Right.
And she was so now I was 18, she was about 17. A beautiful Meath girl.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beautiful skin and nice hair and just a real gorgeous dote of a yoke, you know.
Yeah.
Pure goodness. Not simple now, it wasn't on the spectrum. But
okay, we get it, yes.
Beautiful girl. And I asked her, and she really blushed, and you could tell that she'd been thinking about this, and was I going to ask her? And because that meant her coming to my debs meant that we would, because we were both in Navan, the debs were in Ballinasloe.
Mm. Oh,
so I was
bit of an excursion.
I was hardly going to be leaving her home that night.
Yeah, you were going to have to be staying over. Like,
you'd be staying over somewhere. You know, so I asked her, would she like to come to my debs in the boarding school? And she blushed and very kind of coyly said, would I like to come to your debs?
You just painted this lovely angelic.
She's from fucking Navan.
That's the way she talked.
Painted this like almost like a little.
You're after ruining it now, Loretta. By
and then
fucking,
you're like, yeah.
I know her now. I'm getting images in my head, and now I can hear it. Now I can hear her talking.
If I ever got her robot, you may be sure of fucking one thing: she'd have a Navan accent.
Where is it? She said,
"We are going to have sex now. I'll go upstairs and get ready for you."
Lord, that was horrible.
Lord,
Lord, you've an awful cock on you.
That'll never fit me. Look at the size of it.
And the next day she's talking to her friends, well, the size of his cock, Behal.
Behal.
So, I said to Maeve, would you like to come? She said, I'd love to.
Stop it, could you?
It's like the robot now. It's the robot half Navan robot voice.
I'd love to. She said, I'd love to come to your debs. And so then I went over to England for a month to work. And I started thinking, I was writing to Maeve all the time, and Maeve was writing back to me. And I started thinking, I miss the lads. I miss the lads that I went to boarding school with, you know, and that's what the Debs is about. It might be different in a day school, but in a boarding school, I haven't seen these fellas, you know, for 3 or 4 months. And I'm not going to see them again after that. And it's kind of like it was almost like a reunion more than a fucking Debs.
Right, yeah.
And I says, fuck, now if I bring Maeve, I'm only going to be fucking introducing her to people all night. I won't be able to have a laugh with the lads the way I fucking want to. So I said to Maeve, I came back to Navin and I said, Maeve, I don't want to bring you to the Debs anymore. I'm awful sorry, but I think the Debs are about meeting me friends, and I think if I bring you, it turned into something else, and I'm very sorry, and I don't want to bring you anymore. And she said, okay, and I never saw her again. So I went to my Debs.
On your own?
On my own. And not only, I didn't have very much money, so I couldn't afford...
To stay?
No, I couldn't afford the clothes.
Oh, God.
So I managed...
What did you wear?
I managed to find slacks and a jacket, but...
They weren't matching?
Oh, no, they weren't matching.
Oh, Jesus.
I only had sandals.
Oh, no, Tommy, no.
So I had to... I arrived in the boarding school and I said to one of the lads, does anyone have lend of a pair of shoes? Because someone in the boarding school would have a pair of shoes. So I...
Jesus Christ.
I borrowed a pair of shoes... And I had good crack with the lads.
Where was it on?
It was on in Hayden's Hotel in Ballinasloe.
And were you sorry that you... Were you happier that you went by yourself?
I think it was a very selfish thing to do.
Especially after asking her, about, Tommy.
So it was a very selfish kind
and
of...
And she would have been all excited and she probably... And how long before the Debs did you tell her she wasn't going?
Maybe like a fortnight or something like that.
So she did all her dress got and everything.
Had a dress got, probably had the underpants chosen. Mind you, young ones in Nav, there was... Thongs wouldn't have been that popular in Avon in 1986.
No. But sandals were, and odd shirts and jackets.
But what happened is, you know, sometimes you do something very selfish like that, and it doesn't, the penny doesn't drop with you. It doesn't fully, completely drop until you're away from the pressure of the situation. So about a year later, it just, the penny fucking just, and I, that was an awful thing to
do. Did you write back to her?
I never wrote back to her, but I'd like to take this opportunity now. To say, Maeve.
Poor girl was heartbroken.
If you're listening, I'm awful sorry.
She probably hates you. She probably like hates seeing you on the telly and hates seeing your DVDs and probably burns them.
Yeah, we can leave it behind. Yeah.
She, let's just say,
at least I didn't go fucking shifting eight fellas at the fucking Debs.
Well, I apologise too. I feel bad for now. Now I feel bad for that now that we've revisited.
Tommy's on. That Saturday night show is on again. He's on again. Fuck him.
And then watch that cunt
fucking prick.
Prick.
I went to my Debs was in the Bloomfield House Hotel in Mullingar, and we were like caged animals getting on the bus with Pernod and black naggins of vodka, cans of
I should have gone to
cans
that
of Debs. Harp.
Yeah, why didn't you?
The
because
whole
way. Oh,
why didn't you come to that one?
Did you do any shifting at your own?
Shifting.
Easy.
I was
easy
shift.
Now. Easy now. Easy. What happens in Ballinasloe stays in Ballinasloe.
We were shifting before we even got onto the bus with them.
That's written outside the inside the walls of the psychiatric hospital. What happens in Ballinasloe stays in Ballinasloe.
We got on a bus to bring us from Navan to the Bloomfield House Hotel in Mullingar, and we were bananas by the time we got
on. A
30-mile drive with Pernod and black mixed in a 2 litre. And young ones drinking naggins, and we all shifting and trying to shifting get the diddy and tea. And the girl I brought to me, Debs, puked outside the bus between that and the hotel. And I was there, go girl, get it up. And in at the meal then, you know, the little puke, and I still shifted their head off her in the slow set. Oh. Well, it was mayhem, and the next morning we got to Betty's Town. We were like animals, girl.
I'm awful excited. Who went to our Debs in terms of the girls?
Oh, Bernie Gibney.
I wonder, Siobhan did Moore. Maeve go with anyone?
Oh, Catherine.
Sheely.
Oh.
Did Maeve
Hazel
go?
O'Connell. Miriam Mulhern.
Oh, Miriam.
Shauna Fahey. yes. Paula Stokes.
Paula Stokes.
Oh my God.
Caroline O'Reilly.
Oh lads.
Anne-Marie McGahern.
Oh, you wouldn't get it at Miss Universe.
Celine Curtin.
Oh, Celine. Oh, fuck
me.
Patricia McHugh.
I'm going to burst. I'm going to burst.
Alana McGuinness.
I'm going to leave him up on the front of your back. I'm leaving him up on the front of your back.
Francis Riley.
Oh, lads.
Sophia Love.
I'm making a mess of myself.
Sophia Fitzsimons.
I apologise.
We were like all the boys in suits. Wait, I'll try this. It's Pernod and Black. I'm mixing up myself.
You're still,
what have you got?
You're bad enough now.
Cans
what were
of
like
harp
then?
And everything. Young ones shifting and puking and lad. And there were roses and chocolates and squashing them. Frere Rochers squashed on their necks. Roses squished into them. Orchids pushed up into their ears. Get out for the shift, boys. It's our dibs.
Stop.
What's amazing is that when I see, so, you know, say when I see a young one now of 17 or 18, she seems like a fucking child to me.
Yeah.
Right. But when we were that age, these were women. Like, these were the most
models.
So when you're calling out them names, I'm remembering them as they were.
We were like, these were the women we used to walk around the town. They'd go down the shop and said we'd walk around behind them for days.
I remember there was a young one from out the Kilberry Road, and there was a young one from Stack Allen tennis courts, and I swear to fuck, they were so beautiful that it felt like being in the presence of fucking godliness, didn't it? They were just.
Do you know Sophia Loren when she came out of the water on the James Bond?
Claudia Cardinale in Once Upon a Time in the West. And she's from Stack Allen, like halfway between Navan and Slane. And she is the greatest looking creature you have ever seen in your life. Like you just love to look at her. Yeah. You know, and so you call her all those names. Fantastic memories of how those
but
young
when
ones
you were 17,
beautiful.
These girls. Jesus Christ. But back then the classic question was, will you go with me?
That was it, yeah.
Once you got the go ahead there, the question was asked. I'll give you this one. So it was a Friday afternoon. I was about fifth year. Yeah, leaving cert. I was going out with a girl from, she was a boarder in Mercy Convent.
There's no boarders in Mercy.
She was back there.
There was a small boarding.
There was a small boarding community in Mercy, but they finished about 1987, 88.
All right.
I won't give a name, but she was from the far side of Mullingar near Castle Pollard.
Oh, yeah.
I think she's a nurse now.
Just give us her first name.
I can't.
Do you know her first name?
I'm going to give you a false name.
Okay. Why?
Fidelma.
Fidelma. Why won't you give us her
name? Why did you?
No, I'll just give it. Her name was Elaine.
Yeah.
I used to go down every Friday.
What do you call a young one standing between two fields?
God.
I used to go down on Fridays. We'd have smoke signals. You know, we'd know I'd meet her at the back of the Foresters.
I thought she was going to say smoke salmon.
She'd come down the lane.
In the forest.
She'd come down the laneway from Mercy outside McAvoy's newsagents and turn left into
the back.
Well, you're not
going
very
far away to Castle Pollard.
No, she's boarding. She's boarding.
Oh, sorry.
So she would come out of the Mercy and she'd come down the laneway and I'd come from St. Pat's and we'd go in at the back of the Irish National Foresters, which was the snooker club, in around the back for a good shift for about 50 minutes every Friday.
Getting all the chalky pebble dust in the back of your jacket and your mum goes,
exactly, Tommy, yeah. This one. Well, I swear to God, I was up against the wall rubbing against the back of the Foresters and I was scraping here. And I turn her around and
pin up.
Give her a bit of a scrape.
And going with the nanu-nanus and everything. And I mean, my lovely denim jacket. And about 50 minutes of rampant shifting.
Munging.
And feeling and pulling and dragging and hooshing and hoppling. All right, I'll see you next week. I love you, bye. I walked home the whole way to my house. In I went. My mother there. Where were you? I was in study. Oh, yeah. Turn around there and have a look at the back of your jacket, the fucking state of it. Well, the jacket was like whitewash, pebble dashed. He said, you're up against a wall again, will you? What could you say?
Leaning on walls.
But those were great days because the kiss wouldn't stop for about 19 minutes.
Or you'd wear the face off each other.
19 minutes.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad. And I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
I want to find out about you, more about you. And I have a little gap in my life about you, Tommy, that I didn't know where you were. And I'm going to find that out now. And Loretta, I want to find out about you.
No comments.
I'm calling
no
them,
comments.
I'm calling them the magical years. Some people could call them the lost years. But I need to find out what happened 18, 19, 20 and 21. Because it's that junction that when you leave school and then you decide to do something when maybe 21, 22. My lost years were...
taking acid, wearing dungarees and Inish Mion.
I 18, 16 doing the leaving.
That's awful young. Trinity.
How
Trinity,
come?
16, 17 getting 17 on the 17th of August, standing in the queue for my registration card in Trinity.
Imagine.
Hadn't a fucking clue. Spent a cup 2 years.
What did you study?
I studied Bomber Jack. It was a video game in the Buttery Bar in Trinity. It was there by the toilets. We got so good at this game, at this video game. There was about six of us from different parts of the country doing different things, different lads studying. It was called Bomber Jack, where this lad floated through individual worlds and you had to keep floating them. And we got so good at it, drinking beer. We went to Dublin Airport one day to play it because there was a machine there. We had a day trip. We were fucking just experts at drink. Scrumpy Jack, Linden Village, Snake Bites, Rock Garden, fucking drink. And we thought we were the coolest. We did nothing. I failed my first year exams, never got through first year in Trinity. Then I went working for Colossian Levine, which is a summer college that the girl took. So I started working for them. And by 1991, I was about 20, 21, I'd £5,000 saved. In an Irish permanent account in Dunleary. And I
Chris,
said...
what were you doing?
I was going around the country for 3 years for Colossian Levine doing aftercare. So from September to the following April, the kids who go to the Gaeltacht would come to these clubs in Carrickmacross and Castle Blaney. So I was like a travelling apostle of the language for the kids that went to the Gaeltacht to keep up their Irish. It would be these aftercare clubs where they could come in and speak Irish on a Thursday evening for 2 hours. We'd play games, play sport, Os Gaeilge. Exactly a repetition of what they were doing in the Gaeltacht. So I worked with Colossian Levine, who were massive at the time. And back then, the rule in Colossian Levine was one sentence of English and you're gone. We used to stand to attention, raise the Irish flag in the morning, and we'd sing Aaron Levine and the Bold Fenian Men on Irish. To get into Colossian Levine back then, you had to know all the full Aaron Levine and Bold Fenian Men. And it was quite militaristic, if
yes.
you'd like to say.
Yeah.
That's where I learned the Irish. So anyway, I worked for them. I'd money saved and I met a couple of lads. One lad called Sean McRaymond, who now runs some big technology company here in Galway. And I haven't seen him in years, but I know he's into that gaming world and doing very well. And he was a bit of a rebel. He was from Waterford. And he said to me one day, and I met him for a pint somewhere, and he said, "Rockamid's Mock, Ojagan, Willen Gaeilge. Will we go somewhere where there's pure Irish?" And I said, "Okay, I'm up for this. Where the fuck do you think?" He says, "I think we should go and live in the middle island of the Aran Islands, Inishman." And I said, I'm on, let's do it. So I headed in 1991 with a massive blue backpack and a sheepskin jacket out on the Rose of Arran, spent to Inishman, and I lived there for nearly 2 years.
And what did you do out there?
I lived in a little cottage and we christened it Sunsplash Cottage. It's at the old slip in Inishman. There's three Concannon little chalets, they were called. Very basic. We had a little tiny little television. I'll never forget, Blackboard Jungle used to be on every afternoon.
And what did you do during the day?
Oh, Tommy, you see, there you brought up a beautiful way. You said something there which makes so much sense. The day became so good because we filled it with so much stuff to do when you're out on an island like that. The morning time was breakfast, bit of porridge. Again, we gave up meat. We used TVP. We used to get this powdered meat called TVP, textured vegetable protein. So you mix it in a pot and then throw in the spuds and it would expand. So we get that flown in. We used to blast pack 12 packs of Linden Village at a time, ring Roach's stores, and they'd send it out on the plane. We'd have Linden crates Village. Of Linden Village coming in. There was another guy from Spiddle called Liam, who was a bit of a real hippie, right? He joined us in the cottage, and then Jamie joined us for many, many years. So Jamie was in the house as well, and he was big into the Doors, Led Zeppelin, Neil Young. It was beautiful.
But you're mixing with the Islanders then. Like,
took me 6 weeks before the Islanders said hello to me. I'll never forget it. I mean, when you're walking on the island, your first days, you're getting the dole. Obviously, we got the dole. 6 weeks, 7 weeks go by, nobody say a word to you. We're down in our own little cottage. They'd looking at you. This is 1991. Manchester United beat Barcelona. We watched in the pub. And I remember drinking for 15 hours in the pub. There was no cops.
Mark Hughes.
Go read. He went so wide, he was nearly in the stand and he back in. Yeah. I used to ring my mother from the pub with coins once a month and say, Mom, I'm okay. You have to slow down to the pace of the island, first of all. You have to get into their rhythm. No mobile phones, no nothing. The rhythm of the island, the rhythm of the sea. And then finally,
take you to the island.
Yes, slow it right down. We used to
trace your footprints in the sand. Paul Bridgie isn't quaking in his boots anyway, that's for sure.
We'd make love to the sound of the ocean. We used to go down. There was the Tráletrach, the electric beach. It's called Tráletrach. Is one of the nicest beaches in Inishman. And in the evening time, we used to go down there with a few flagons, and we would build these stone statues higher, and then one right at the top, and then go back 50 yards and drink cider and try and knock it with stones for hours at a time. Stone roses.
Weeks, months.
We'd have the ghetto blaster with the Happy Mondays, the Inspiral carpets, the stone roses. I was in my element. We'd have the binoculars out to see if there's any girls coming in off the boat. Yeah, three German girls. Yeah, student look. Yeah, hang on, I'm just going to end. Yeah.
Sprechen Sie Deutsch? Yeah.
They're staying above in T-Wider Fat Partings. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely staying in T-Wider's tonight then. We'd be walking by T-Wider's that night. Hello. I got it. It took about 6 weeks for the locals to say hello to me. And when they took me, Pat John O'Faherty, Gnéni Diag Ross there, a great lad, he knocked on the window of the chalet one morning. Yeah, well, in the kitchen. He came out and he gave me his dole. Back then, he gave me my dole. And he said, what are you doing today? I said, fuck, tada. I'm a painter, I'm going to slip my tongue. Tashis ni steni. I said, I'm going to slip my tongue. I'm going to slip my tongue. I'm going to slip my painter, I'm going
lovely.
And 3 euro like and gin. Bum, bum, bum. We talked. And the moment I was asked to paint his curragh and help the boys at the slip, at the end of that evening, he told me, and this is no word of a lie, he said, Tá fati hu sagadi hu san chen. Tá cad eidi mas mailet sagarela. Ein rud sa wait. Tori mishis jack lomachui. Agus runachui skulle hort gud. Ein rud sa wait. Tá shis by jachan.
Wow.
And I was given spuds in one field, carrots in the other, the best of salmon, the best of rockfish, the best of hake, the best of lobster. And after that, I used to sit in his house and watch fucking Belgian porn channels at fucking Jesus. 6 in the morning when the pubs were closed. We'd go back to their house and they'd have this fucking Mad Canal Plus decoder yoke. And it's just bonkers. But they accepted me into their world. Then the locals got to know me. Then the young lads on the islands got to know me. Then they'd give me a lift on the back of the Honda 50. And when a lad would come to collect me, at 6 o'clock in the morning on a summer's morning, and we'd go fishing for mackerel. I'd have about seven rods each side of the back of the Honda 50, and about four of us, five of us, all on Honda 50s, locals, and we'd go way back to the back of the island. The mackerel would be coming in, and as sunrise came up over the over the island, we would be pulling hundreds and hundreds of mackerel, six at a time on the feathers, with the locals of the island, and the seals would be bobbing up in front of us, looking at us, going, "There's loads of food down here, boys." I never felt anything like it when you pull six mackerel at a time, way back at the back of the island with the locals. It was a magical time. I left the island the day after Mead were beaten by Down in the 1991
final,
92 All Ireland final, I think it was.
That was after them. That was after beating Dublin in the four matches.
Yes, 91, Colm O'Rourke was said. Yeah, Colm O'Rourke, I think, was sick that day. Came on the last few minutes and made a difference. But we had a party in my house that night, and I knew I was leaving the next day. And I wrote them all a little letter, and they all were asleep on couches. All the local boys, we were bananas. And I just wrote them all a little letter, and I gave them my home number in Navan. And I put it in their pot. Some of them had taken off their shoes, and I put it in their shoes. They were lying on couches, lying in beds. And I cried as I left the Aran Islands on the Rose of Aran, because it was one of the most magical times. And it's funny now that later on in life, I never dreamt that I'd be on television speaking Irish, or travelling the world speaking Irish, or being on TG Cahara doing anything in the television world. And for them now to sit in following years, I'd meet them in Taffs and in T. Coley's and places. And it's just so... I've been so enriched by that moment that I could... I wanted to go and speak Irish in one of the greatest meccas, paradises for Irish that's untouched. I mean, Gerry Adams and his family used to come out for holidays there. I mean, you know, the locals don't give a shit on Inishman. They're just... Even Inishir and Inishmore, the Inishman people are different.
Well, there is a...
They're different.
The Mionini, as they call them, they're kind of... Inishir and Inishmore get a fierce amount of tourists.
Right,
And Inishmian doesn't seem to get as many, but doesn't seem to be that bothered. So it's Ochcuin.
You have to slow down to the pace of the island. But it's funny, I left on the Rose of Aran, and I went to see my missus, my girlfriend at the time, in the Basque Country. So I went from the Aran Islands to the Basque Country.
Wow.
And I stayed in the Basque Country. She came back, and I stayed there for 4 years, and I picked up Spanish. So by this stage, at 24, 25, 26, I was fluent in Irish, obviously from the Gaeltacht, and I polished it beautifully in Connemara in Inishman. But then I got a real love for Spanish, and I was in at the deep end because I had to speak it over there when she left.
Yeah, wow.
So then I picked up them languages, and then I returned home. So there was my last years.
I have a question for you now. Given, say, drinking in Dublin, all right, while supposed to be in college, drinking and being kind of doing your own thing, and the freedom of doing your own thing, and then going to Inishmian and doing your fucking own thing there, would you begrudge your young fellas the same experience?
Not in a million years.
So, but how would you... how would you cope with it? So you young fella might be leaving school in 2 years or something like that, a year and a half, and he says, I'm going to Cork. I'm going to do fuck all. Or he goes to Cork and he doesn't tell you he's going to do fuck all. He's going to Cork and he says, I'm enrolled to do German and Spanish. And then he comes back at Christmas time, I failed on my exams. And he comes back in the summer, I didn't pass my exams this time either. And I'm just going to go, I know a fellow who's living in Berlin, I'm going to go down, just be in a band and drink. What would your reaction be?
I think I'd have to go into to say, I have to accept that, because that pathway was so much of a yellow brick road for me that I will say, all I want for my young lads is to be happy and healthy. I swear to God, and I'm not a one for driving them.
But you have to allow them to risk being unhealthy.
Yes.
You know,
but I think ye can appreciate that, and ye can allow that to happen because ye had those paths.
Yes.
I think people that had a much more conservative path and went to university and worked, you know, and may not have seen the world like he did, maybe it would be harder for them to accept that their kids would do that.
Possibly, but I think you have to let your kids take risks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and to risk, the risk involved in moving out to an island and just drinking and doing fuck all, you have to allow them that. Do you know what I mean?
Do you think there was more flexibility to do that in the 90s than there would be now?
No, the flexibility doesn't change. It's always there. It's having the freedom. But your parents weren't on your back every week going, what do you mean?
No.
What are you doing?
No, they weren't.
You were given space.
But you see, I was going away for 3 weeks and 6 weeks and 8 weeks during every summer from 12 years of age. I was gone. I was mad into the Irish language. Funny story, we're in the pub in Inishman and the Honkery came out and John Bilgo Flaherty and these unbelievable musicians would come out once a month to the pub. No cops on the island.
Hmm.
No car on the island. It's all Honda 50s and wild donkeys, right?
Mm-hmm.
We went into the pub to watch the Honkery playing, one of the great Connemara Tex-Mex bands. They were unbelievable. It's just this Connemara.
The bombing Cajun band as well.
The westernized, like almost like that mariachi Connemara.
Washboards and guitars. It's fantastic.
They'd have an electric guitar. And it was you're up jiving and everything. You know the jive music. It was brilliant. I'm lying here in Clapham Common with my fucking head pounding, not a penny in my pocket. That's what they're singing about in Connemara. And the Honkery played. We had a fucking bonanza. I'd sit in the bar in Inishman. You'd go in the bar in Inishman. And there were a couple of locals there. And I got friendly with some really beautiful men, old men in their 70s who'd sit in every day. You go in the door and then there'd be three or four lads each side at the door and there'd be old fishermen, Aran Islanders in their old gear and they're just sitting there and pints. And eventually I was allowed to sit in with them. I got in with them. I got to know them. So I'd sit in with the rigid back like you're sitting at mass and I'd have the pints of Heineken and all around me would be a feast of Guinness, a sea of beautiful pints.
A plethora of porter
pints.
Oh, well, that sounds
you'd
lovely.
Hear with the Hector. And we just sit there. Right. The Honkery played that night. I think we left the pub at about 4 a.m. We were there at 4 p.m. We don't remember a thing. But to get home, we robbed a couple of 150s. And I think I was coming on, one of the boys was coming on a wild donkey that was outside the pub and he coming down.
Stop.
And the sunlight, the moonlight was hitting it and we were out of it. And Jamie didn't take the turn. And he hit a stone wall with the Honda 50 and he went flying over the stone wall. And then all of a sudden we knew we were in the shits. So everyone stopped. It was just all happened in a split second. There was three or four on the back of the Honda 50. Wild donkeys coming down, other Honda 50 coming. And it was just, and he's like, fuck. And we could see that something was wrong with his knee and the jeans were ripped. He had completely shattered his kneecap, right? And when we looked at it, this was like something I've never seen in my life. I knew this was bad. Now, this is 4 o'clock in the morning on Inishman.
What do you do there?
What do you do there?
Was it as bad as Pickford's challenge on Virgil van Dijk?
We got him back to the chalet. We opened up his jeans and it was an absolute fucking mess.
And was he just roaring?
Yeah, so we got a bottle of whiskey. And we got loads of Nurofen.
You got a bottle of whiskey and yeeds, right?
We got a bottle of whiskey and we started feeding him. And then we got a bottle of Putchin. And then we gave him as many painkillers as we could, as in Nurofens, anything we could get, Anadins, Disprins. We rang and they said nothing can happen till about 11 o'clock tomorrow.
What?
So this is 4
was
o'clock.
Was he bleeding as well?
He was bleeding. It was in bits. There's no nurses. There's no doctors.
And you gave him loads of alcohol to make sure his blood was nice.
This was nothing. There's nothing back then.
So the doctor was going to come from one of the other islands?
Yes, or else he was going to get a boat or airlifted back. The plane could land at 11 o'clock in the morning. You can't ring. You can't ring.
But
back then,
what happens
you can't.
If you've got a heart attack out there?
It's very hard to scramble them.
The helicopter coming at you.
Oh, yeah.
So finally, at 11 o'clock the next morning, we got him down to the airstrip. The little Cessna pulled in and we got him onto it. His kneecap was shattered. We'll talk about an end to a night, but never forget it. Coming down on wild donkeys and Honda 50s and next minute.
And when he got the knee fixed, did he go back out?
Oh, back out to the island, yeah, as well. But it was just a magical time. The island was just an amazing place and I always say this on this podcast. I think it's a beautiful thing that Tommy's found at the other island. I can see in a year. I can nearly see your house from where I was.
Yeah.
And to go to somewhere like that and to experience it, it's amazing. I hope, and I think by talking about places like this, I hope we appreciate in this country the unbelievably beautiful
freedom
and the places that we can go and the things you can do. When you're on an island, I mean, the day the boys asked me to play football once for an Ishman, the pitch was down at the local airstrip. They asked me to tog out for the Gaelic football team.
Wow.
These are all little stages of being accepted on the island.
Would you have anything in your mind about living there again?
I'd go back there in a heartbeat. I want to bring my lads back out there, but I'll finish on this. The priest, there was no cops, there was no doctor, there was only one shop, one pub, one post office, but there was a priest, and we all know who the priest was, because that priest wrote one of the most famous books of all time, Bud Awani, the monks.
Is it Pádraic Stondún?
Aher Pádraic de Stondún.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he wrote
Bud Awani,
Bud Awani, which means the monks.
Willie.
He was a very famous priest who chained himself to Dáil Éireann back in the 70s looking for the dole for the priests in rural areas, because he said, we're not all living in Fox Rock and Black Rock.
We don't
all have 1,000 people in the congregation.
Yeah.
We've no money in these rural places. And he was a very forward-thinking man who had, he was a very radical thinker regarding the parish priests in rural areas, and he wrote a brilliant book called Bud Awani.
Scale Intoch, that was a wonderful story, Hector. Thank you for telling us.
Good mad.
So, in last week's episode, Lisa told us about her.
Well, you know, I mean, I loosely based it on our lives.
There's a way to describe it: your escapades.
How are we? Are we going to meet Audrey one of the days?
Yeah, we should bring her in and let her tell her stories.
I'd be afraid of her.
She'd be like, "Give me a look at you.
Get over here.
Up and trot down there now, and we'll see if there's a good look at you.
Come over here and sit on my knee till I've looked.
Have you spoken to Audrey since last week's podcast?
Yes, yeah, we're having a lot of laugh. And she said that I was quite soft on us on our escapades, but let's leave the other stuff, the other good stuff, for another day.
For the book.
Yeah. But my sister-in-law Deirdre listens to the podcast religiously, and she got out of the car yesterday. Obviously they were homeschooling, they were going for a walk afterwards, and when she got back into the car, the podcast started playing, and my nephew and two nieces, who are 11, 9 and 8, 7 kind of age, got into the car. Anyway, they rang me at about 5 o'clock yesterday evening, and they were on speaker. Lolly, they called me. Lolly, how many people did you shift? I was like, sorry? They were like, tell us more about this shift and you and Audrey shifting everyone. And I was like, but you don't know what shifting is. They were like, yeah, we know well what shifting is. And they absolutely lost it about me shifting. And I was like, oh God. And then Deirdre was saying to them, no, you know, like, Lolly would be making up some of that stuff, you know, it wouldn't all be real. And they were like, yeah, right, of course it was real. We know the two of them.
It's funny because my wife and my daughter listened to it. My wife was saying that my daughter's 13. She was saying it was important for my daughter to hear it because it was empowering. For those of you who didn't catch it, it's basically Larita was talking about herself and Audrey travelling the nightclubs of the world and just shifting loads of fellas in the nightclub, like just munching the face off one lad, then munging the face off another, and getting fellas to lie down in their stomachs and do pirouettes and eat monkey nuts out of their hands, and basically being in control of the situation.
Yeah, basically.
But my wife was saying that it was important for our daughter to hear that. So if you find yourself in a situation where you've munged a few fellas, do not feel guilty about it.
Absolutely. I got a message from a girl called Marion as well, and she said, yeah, her and her sister used to be great at that, and what she called it, the shift and go.
Shift and go.
Put the freshness back.
There was something brilliantly Irish about it. A unique time in Irish society, wasn't it?
But tell me, would you, after munging, like, would your mouth get sore?
Aaron, not at all. You were lucky if you didn't get glandular fever or something, but no, not at all.
Just being in a nightclub and just kind of swapping spit with as many
You'd have a few drinks then in between. It'd be all right.
Wash down a little bit of mouthwash. Right, are we ready? Yeah, let's go again.
I never left the house without Listerine. I know, I'm only messing, I did. But no.
And Audrey is proud of the stories, and she's happy with that.
Yeah, of course. I mean, we didn't misrepresent ourselves. Can I ask you a question then?
So those situations are about you being in control and having a laugh.
I mean, I don't think you don't set out to go, oh, I'm going to go and show that I'm in control, you know.
Yeah.
It's just devilment-like.
Yeah. What is the difference between a fella that you say, come into my office and do a few tricks for me and buy me a drink and maybe I'll give you a bit of a munge, and a fella that you fancy? Like, does the
Oh yeah, that'd be different. Yeah. Well, no, it wouldn't.
What? How does the dynamic change there? So there's a fellow you've had your eye on, and
Yeah, you would be a little bit more less inclined to do that.
So is that because you're kind of you're find yourself getting slightly excited when you're near him and you don't want to blow it and you kind of. That could be interpreted in many ways.
Blow, just to clarify.
So what's the difference between a fella that you fancy?
I don't know. I think if you're very much comfortable in your own skin and you're able to have the crack with someone and you don't take yourself too serious, I think you're better off. You know, you're not going to be overthinking it. Like if I fancy someone and I'm like, excuse me, step over here into my office, and you're twirling their buttons and, you know, twirling their scarf around in your finger, like beside them. Right?
I'm getting hot here.
The finger there, the buttons on his jacket.
I think either men then either A, fall for you, or B, think, oh fuck, get me away from here because I don't know what I'm supposed to do here.
Am I supposed
to give it 100% and go all in, or is that maybe, will that be rejected, or am I just safer just having the crack and backing off and, you know, being obedient or whatever. Yeah. So I think we were always very comfortable in our own skin and having the crack, and we didn't take ourselves seriously.
Say in the height of your magical powers, and I call this a magical power that you and Audrey had, your talent.
Yeah.
In the height of your talents, would you say to some lads then in Dublin or wherever you were going, you can come out of the office and we're going to the boardroom?
Never brought too many of them to the boardroom now, I have to be honest, because you just... That was a different story now, the boardroom.
Would anyone get to the boardroom?
No, not anyone. You'd have to get certain grades to get to the boardroom. And I have to be honest, a lot of them didn't add up to the boardroom duties.
Not like. Boardroom material.
No, they weren't. They wouldn't be suitable to bring to the boardroom.
Janitors and trash men. But
what
not.
Would be the most amount of free drink and everything you got off somebody by saying, come into my office, and the guy went, what is the most you pushed the boat out? Like, did you ever get on a private jet to go somewhere, or did you ever get a 5-star hotel paper?
Oh, God, no, because sure, most of the ones you were bringing into your office were
the Valkenburg.
Yeah, places in Ballinagh, you know, so no, it wasn't like that. Like, yeah, we'd get in, myself and Audrey were in this nightclub in London one night, and we were up out in the smoking area, and we thought, oh, there's a few good looking fellas going in and out of that door, what's in there? And we come over, excuse me, can you come over here for a minute? And whatever about doing that in Ireland, and the people would know you, when you're in London and you're meeting all sorts of different nationalities, you're going, can you come over? And they come over and they're all London, super cool, you know, with the slip-on shoes, and they're all super trendy. What? Can you get in here and give us 2 cigarettes? We have a couple of questions for you. And then he's there. Oh, yeah. Jesus, you're very forward. And oh, God, this is a bit refreshing. And what's going on in that room in there? He says, oh, it's a big office. You know, it's one of our big office parties. You know, it's all like the senior executives were rewarded, blah, blah. Oh, that's fine. Here, you hold these drinks. We'll be back in a few minutes. And he says, oh, no, it's a private party. Oh, don't you worry about it if it's a private party or not, love. We will take care of ourselves. Well, in we went. And again, we worked our way through the... Oh, Audrey had we had given ourselves 2 jobs. We were advisors and consultants to the company by the time we got up, but we were talking. We'll have another bottle of that champagne. Can you take us over here? 2 glasses, drinking. Everyone's like, oh God, yeah, Jesus, I wasn't familiar with you. Yeah, blah, blah. Next thing, Audrey is telling this full story to your man, and she is laying it out thick, right? And he said, well, I own the company and I've never met you before. So our cover was blown after a while, but not before we shifted a load of them in there as well. So that was all good. Yeah.
Supreme.
So we used to work ourselves into, and you know, when you'd be at the races and stuff, you'd be getting yourself into tents.
The Galway races.
And different races. And we were regular goers to the Dublin Horse Show, and, you know, getting into boxes and getting into offices and getting into tables and getting looked after like you'd be royalty. I think people get so confused by it and the crack they're having. They're kind of feel it would be inappropriate to ask you what was your business at the table by the time you had so much cracked on.
My mum always used to say, she's the gift of the gab. And the gift of the gab has been blessed on you and Audrey.
Oh, yeah.
And you used
and
the
together
gift of
we're
the gab.
Dynamite.
That's a magic power you had.
Yeah. Well, I hope we still have it now, but we'll be a little bit more refined with it now.
Classic. Thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. We do hope you enjoy it wherever you're listening, not only in the country or all over the world. Spread the word, click and subscribe, and thanks for downloading. We're really, really loving it.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure talking to you. I get a real buzz out of seeing people in different parts of the world listening to it, because you know they're listening to it on their own.
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's a fella in Kuwait or a guy in Venezuela or the Pope. That they're all just kind of, you know, they're all by themselves, and you kind of, it's just a little bit of Ireland that you're receiving, Harsalia, and it's fantastic. So we're delighted to be doing it for you.
And isn't it mad that we're in a hen house at the bottom of a shed in Galway, in the west of Ireland, doing this in these shitty times, putting a smile on people's faces, and that's what we're very, very proud of.
Yes.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.